passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we try to challenge everything and everyone. It's the best way to keep you on your toes, expand your thinking, and the way that we help you to help us change the world in all sorts of positive ways. As always, we're going to start this week with my hot topic. We know that my hot topic either warms the cockles of my heart or gets me hot and bothered under the collar. Then we will introduce tonight's guest. We'll get her to comment on tonight's topic. And then we're going to put her through the famous Dr. Kevin roller coaster. And I've already talked to her and she said her seatbelt is fastened and she's ready to go. So we're going to move right into my hot topic. So part of my hot topic definitely is making me feel, at least is making me feel kind of warm and fuzzy. And I like warm and fuzzy. Some people think that I really like it when it's all hot and bothered and getting all upset. But this is about something that happened recently. There was an 11-year-old girl, and she had this was in Arizona. She had a van pull up and say that her brother had been involved in an accident and that he was sent to get her. And she said to him, okay, what's your code? What's the code word? He didn't have it and drove off. And she was able to like report what it was, the van, what it looked like, and that this guy had been trolling that school and had been driving by other 11-year-old girls. And it makes me a little sad, and I could get hot under the collar that we have this world that we have to do this in. But I'm choosing to make this a joyful story, that this is something that was a near miss. And it was a near miss because we had a quick-thinking child, a responsible parent, and we had a code word. And, you know, it's very important today, and there's always been a long discussion that goes on out there. Is there really more bad things happening in the world than there used to be? Or is it just because we are so inundated with media, we hear more about it? There have always been trollers out there. There's always been predators. There's always been vulnerable kids that have been taken advantage of. They've existed since the beginning of time, and I suspect will probably always exist. We just didn't hear about them as often. So are there really more when you look at the number of people and the number of kids? We don't know if there's really a higher percentage, but we've got a greater population, and we certainly have a greater communication. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to celebrate is the parents that are responsible enough to give their kids a code word, to realize that not everything out there is good. But I mean, in reading this story, the little girl didn't get hysterical. It didn't sound like she kind of kept her cool. And I have to give some credit to the parents because, you know, we don't want to make kids, and I work with kids in my practice, we don't want to make them afraid of the world. We don't want to make them afraid of living. We don't want to make them afraid of having experiences, and we want to teach them about failure and success, and that sometimes things don't always go our way, but you just pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and start all over again. And those are all good lessons, and sometimes I don't think those are getting taught enough to today's kids. I wanted to celebrate this as a positive story, a near miss, and I want to congratulate the parents and the level-headed young girl. Now, talking about near misses and that sometimes things don't always work out the way that we want them to, tonight's guest, Joran Jenkins, is a trial attorney with 38 years of courtroom experience. Now, if you, first of all, remember, this is a live call-in show. So if you are listening to us at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, then you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, MyDrKevin, and you will see tonight's guest. And from the picture that I'm looking at, I would say that she started in the courtroom around 5 or 6 years old. That being said, when you come there, you can find out how to contact her, you can read about her, you can see her, you can get access to her, and you can post things. If this isn't between 6 and 7 Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, and you are listening to one of the many replays that happens with the Dr. Kevin Show, you can still come to the Facebook page. You can still look for tonight's guest. I will keep it pinned to the top of the page for the next several days. You can come in and you can ask questions. And if you ask questions that I can't answer, I will chase. Now, and there's no pun here. We're not talking that she's an ambulance chasing lawyer, but I will chase this lawyer down. I will chase this lawyer down, and I will have her get the answer. Is that all right, Jorman?
It's all right.
Good. I love that laughter. So let me tell you a little bit more about Joran. She's 38 years of courtroom experience and is now in private practice at Open Palm in Tampa, where she concentrates on the courtless practice of family law. And you know what? More families would last longer if there was just a little bit more courting. Don't you think, Lauren? I think that the fact that it's courtless is why marriages fall apart. They don't court each other anymore.
Oh, funny. That is a wonderful pun. But I think so many people don't understand what courting with that. I mean, that's an old, very old fashioned phrase. Wooing is same. They're both, but those so important.
Absolutely. You know, if you with just a little bit of effort and energy, you can keep falling in love with the same person all over again for decades if you put just a little work in it.
So amazing. I had a consult not 2 hours ago with a couple that were talking about doing a postnup, and we were chatting and laughing, and they're married and they're happily married, but they had always agreed that there would be certain things that would happen if they broke up. They called it breaking up. They're married, but they called it breaking up. And so they wanted to finally get it into print. And we started talking about courting and wooing and what do you do and marriage counseling. And I said, you know what? One of the top things I recommend to people, go to a marriage counselor before there's anything wrong. Just go in for tune-ups. It's wonderful. It's a learning experience, and you both benefit so much from that. That's a form of courting.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because my primary practice for the last almost 29 years has been as a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst. And though I do have some of the psychological underpinnings in my undergraduate degrees, a lot of my work comes from a more spiritual perspective, but I do marriage work and family work. And I have clients that if they meet somebody and the relationship gets serious, we do premarital work, counseling, where I help them, you know, with some tools and skill sets, and I give them a safety blanket. And if things start to go wrong, they can always reach out and I can jump in and kind of help smooth it over if they're just not sure what to do.
One of the most popular articles I ever wrote was published in Good Housekeeping and I think republished in Red Book magazine, and it was 11 surprising tips from a divorce lawyer about how to stay married. I mean, people want that. They want this information, but they don't know how to get it. And it's so important that we let them know that it's out there. People come to me for their divorces, and the first thing I do is ask them if they've been to marriage counseling.
Yep. And I have a very unique thing that I do is when I work with a couple, and again, I work from an alternative perspective, but it's like,
right.
I need to meet with each of the partners separately for several sessions and together so that you don't have three cooks in the soup with the other two cooks not knowing what's going on. And I think that does interfere. I think that, you know, when you can get the, you know, person A and person B to have a relationship with somebody that knows what they're doing, then they can bring that into that time with the couple and get so much more done.
Right.
Not the traditional way of thinking. Yep. No. So
no,
what do you... Go ahead.
Just, 2 months ago, I said to my husband, you know, we haven't been to counseling lately. And he goes, well, there's nothing wrong. And I said, yeah, but we enjoy going to counseling. Let's go back. So we went back. We went for 4 sessions. And as usual, Dr. Tim said, well, I'm done with you guys. Go away and come see me when there's something wrong. But he didn't really mean it. We spent some time and we both, he made some recommendations. We read some books. and we talked about what was in the books. One time I went to Dr. Tim without my husband. One time he went without me. And look, the tweaks were amazing. There were some things that had been bugging me. They weren't even really at the top of my consciousness, but it was amazing. The tweaking was just wonderful, and our relationship has deepened that much more. We've been married 26, 24, 25 years. I'm sorry, I'm the wife. I ought to know this. But I think you can always make it better. And I think that the biggest thing I see in divorces is people who grew apart because one of them was focused on the kids and the other was busy making the money and making sure that everything was okay and taking care of everything. And they grew apart because of that, which is awful. It's just awful. It's not right. If they had been forewarned, they'd have been forearmed like that little girl who knew the code word. Forewarned is forearmed, and you can avoid problems just by preparing for them.
Yep, absolutely. And sometimes when you don't know the exact amount of time you're together, it's because it's living organic present time. And one of the things I'll tell couples sometimes, Joran, is, when we're not careful, we're working with somebody who hasn't existed for 2 to 3 years because we weren't noticing close enough to who they'd become. We were still dealing with who they were.
Right. That's very true. In my experience, yes.
Yeah. So I do want to mention some of the books that you have out. You have a quite impressive list of books. And also, we don't do any genderization here either. Both parties get to forget the wedding date. Gender is irrelevant.
gender in our society has become completely irrelevant. It seems. So let me tell you a funny story about books. I went to Yale when I was 16. I graduated without a high school diploma. I graduated when I was 19. And of course, with an English degree. My mother spent the next 40 years saying, Joran, you've got to write a book. Joran, you've got to write a book. And I kept saying, Mom, I don't have a book in me. That was my mantra. I don't have a book in me. I'm busy being a trial lawyer. I love trial work. I love juries. I love going to court. And then one day I woke up and there's this thing called collaborative divorce. And I'm like, oh my God, families don't belong in the courtroom. This is so much better for them. And I realized that there wasn't really a good book out there on collaborative divorce. And of course, as a lawyer, we write all the time. So I had all of this material sitting in my files. So I started writing the collaborative divorce stories, the secret and the magic and the apology and the magic that we see that happens in these collaborative divorces where the people come out better people than when they went into their divorce. And I pulled together the materials from all my trial cases and I threw it all in a pile and I go, oh, there's a book. And I organized it. And surprisingly, there actually was two books. So I have two books, which are a series of short stories as well as explanations of what happens in various divorce processes. And then I decided, well, you know what? I really like this writing thing. So I'm going to write a book about how to manage a collaborative law practice. So I got that done. And then I wrote about managing a pro bono collaborative divorce project because I was doing that in my spare time. And then I wrote a book about marketing collaborative practice because nobody is out there marketing this idea that people just haven't heard about. So, which is why I'm here talking to you, Dr. Kevin, because you've given me the opportunity to get the word out. And this is just one of the ways that we do it.
Well, I think that it's fabulous that you're getting this word out. And, when I have a couple that comes to me, the very first thing I tell them is, I'm not here to save your marriage. I'm not here to help you end it. I'm here for you to discover what you need to be who you're here to be. And if that is doable in this marriage, then we'll figure out how to make that happen.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So yeah. I love it
like discernment counseling. People go to some marriage counselors now, I suppose discernment counselors. It's called discernment counseling. They're wondering whether their marriage can be saved, whether they should be talking about divorce. They don't really know. Divorce is the most stressful thing you can ever do to yourself or your family. It's a death, but it's not a death. and it's usually a relocation. And we both know that death and relocation are the top two stressors. God forbid you should get divorced at Christmas time, because then you're really laying it on yourself, which, by the way, is what I did. But so divorce is excruciatingly stressful, and discernment counseling helps people figure out, discern whether divorce is one of the things they should be thinking about. And it sounds like you do a little bit of that.
Yeah, I do. You know, I have a very unusual practice because it's grown organically and it's evolved. One of the things you said that I wanted to comment on is because I also have a TV show, and on my TV show, I'm doing a death throughout life series, because life is nothing but a series of deaths. And the more that you can embrace death, the better you can live life, is the whole underpinning. But divorce is a death, because it's the death of a dream. It's the death of a promise. There's always so much, you know, both good and bad baggage we bring in when we say, I do. And, and so you do get
the
to grieve it.
The death of a relationship, yeah.
Yep. And you have to grieve it. And you have to look at it as something that's grievable and recognize that. And the best lawyers that I've known, and I've got a couple of close friends that are lawyers. I got a very close friend who also loves doing trial law, but she's an IP, but she's a killer in the courtroom. She loves it. So I understand that when you say that, because her and I have had a lot of conversations about how much she loves the trial, but she'd rather mediate it just because it's in the best interest of the parties. Yeah. So you've got some great books out here. I know in probably about a minute or so that I'm going to hear the music, which means that they'll, not be able to hear us because we'll go to commercial break. But do you have any comments on the 11-year-old girl? Oh, and there's the music. And we'll be right back with Joran Jenkins, author of 1,001 books about how to divorce in better ways and maybe even decide to stay together.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the practical, intuitive, mind, body, spirit for the real world with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine. Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Protect his home and family from disaster. Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. Tonight we have Lauren Jenkins, who was a trial lawyer for over 38 years. She still does some, but she has really moved her practice into doing more of a collaborative divorce. She has a number of books out, and if you would like to find out more about her, come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. When you come there, make sure you like the page, because I'm a likable guy, even if I have to say so myself, and I do every week. You can also call in at 202-570-7057 and ask your questions live, or if you're missing this as a live show, post them on the Facebook line. And I know that I or Lauren, Joran Jenkins will be happy to get an answer to you. Joran, so did you have any thoughts about the story about the 11-year-old girl before we move on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing to take away from that story is exactly what I said. Forewarned is forearmed. Forearmed is forewarned. You need to, in any situation, you need to think about what if. And plan for it and prepare for it. And then hopefully it never happens. But in this little girl's life, you know, somebody was smart enough to say, what if, you know, someone approached you at school or when you're, you know, shopping with your girlfriend and I'm not right there in the room with you and made up some story. What do we do if that happens? And so let's have a code word. Let's just make, you know, pretend. Let's just pretend that could happen. And so prevented a tragedy from happening. I think that's important. And it's the same thing I say about marriage counseling. Go to a marriage counselor before you need a marriage counselor. You can prevent a divorce from happening by being forearmed and by preparing, by, you know, learning some tools to keep your relationship alive and healthy and happy.
So I have a question for you, and I know this is not one of the questions that you were sent that I was going to ask, but I have confidence in you that you can be flexible. Huh? So what do you think about this? What do you think about this whole conscious uncoupling thing? Do you, think that?
So
go ahead.
It's funny you ask, because I was just talking about it earlier today.
Well, I am a psychic, you know. That's the second thing I picked up from your day.
You obviously are, because you've done this twice now in 20 minutes. There's a lot of power in the phrase conscious uncoupling. Big picture, I've always said that divorce is not just a legal problem. And in fact, divorce isn't even a legal problem if you can take care of the emotional and the financial without recourse to the law, because basically it becomes a legal problem when two people can't agree. If you two are getting divorced and you can agree on how you want it to happen, then the lawyers don't give a damn what you do as long as it's not illegal. But in today's world, it typically happens to be a legal, financial, and emotional problem. The problem is that if you litigate your divorce, you never handle the emotional aspect of it. You go to war, it gets ramped up, the lawyers inject more and more and more stress into this thing that we've already agreed is the most stressful thing that can ever happen to you, and litigation makes it just that much worse. Conscious uncoupling is not a divorce, as I understand it. It is the unlinking of the emotional tendrils that still connect you. And it's a way of addressing that emotional aspect to separation and divorce, which I think is very smart. If you can do it that way, great. If you can't, then I recommend a collaborative divorce.
Well, you know, before Gwyneth Paltrow, and I don't know if she's the first one that used the term, but she's the one that made it famous. But before she ever did conscious uncoupling, this had to have been 10 years ago now. We weren't legally married, but I ended a 7-year relationship. So it was a kind of divorce. And it was mutually exclusive. that we had decided that we were really headed in different ways. And I'm going to tell you what we did. We went on a divorce honeymoon. We went to Mallorca. We spent 10 beautiful days together. We remembered why we loved each other. We celebrated all the good times. We ended in a very loving way. And chose that we would always be in each other's lives as good friends and support systems. And we had a divorce honeymoon. And everybody says, you're crazy. You can't do that. And I'm like, you can't do that maybe. But I just did it. And it was beautiful. I'm just thinking, what a better world it would be if people could reach a point where they go, sometimes it just doesn't work. Does it have to end on a battleground? So what do you think of that?
I think it's a fabulous idea. And I think it would work for a lot of people if they only thought of it, if somebody suggested it to them. Unfortunately, in most separation scenarios, one person wants a separation and the other does not. And that's where you run into, you know, it's a death, but for the person who doesn't want the divorce, it's horrible because the other person is still walking around and living and breathing and having a good time. And so it makes it even yep. worse for the person who's left behind. So in a lot of situations, it's not going to work. But in some, yeah, absolutely. And I see those divorces. I do those divorces where the parties have really agreed that they can't get along for one reason or another. They've just grown apart. That's a big, you know, we see more and more of these older divorces. And I'm not talking just, you know, I'm 61 years old. I'm not talking just 60-year-olds. I'm talking 80-year-olds who have decided for one reason or another that they're done with this relationship. They've grown apart. They want to do something else, whether it's be by themselves or be, you know, find someone that they can spend time with. And they're, it's not so much that they hate each other. It's just that they have agreed that they're going their separate ways. And I do those divorces all the time.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And they can be beautiful and they can be meaningful. I've done a divorce ceremony. I had a couple that came to me and said, we want to do a ceremony. We want you to do a ceremony for us and we want to invite the key people in our life. And we want to have a divorce ceremony where we give each other back the promise and the ring and we wish each other well. And it was a beautiful ceremony.
When you have time, and I think when you that have if, time, read the last chapter in my book, War or Peace. It's called The Ceremony. And it happened exactly the way you're describing it. Exactly.
There I go again, being psychotic. Psychic.
Psychic.
They're interchangeable, depending on the day. So So our number one goal here on the Dr. Kevin Show on Thursday night at, you know, 6:30 is to make sure that our guest is having a good time. She had a long, tough day and she deserves a good time. So just, you know, just so make sure you have your priorities straight here in the Dr. Kevin world. So, Joran, you know, the first question I always ask after the hot topic, the first official question is always, where do you want to take my listeners outside the box? And frankly, you can do it around divorce. You can do it. I love the Stepmother's Cookbook. You know, you can do it on any topic you want. It's your choice. Where would you like to take my listeners outside the box?
Well, I think it's important. I do, you know, I did think about this and I stick to my first reaction because when I got divorced, I went to a lawyer and this has been years, obviously years ago. And I was not doing divorce work. I was doing commercial litigation because I was a trial lawyer. And I went to a lawyer and I said, I need a divorce. And he said, fine, I'll file a petition. And I said, what? Wait, I didn't have to go to court to get married. What do you mean? I have to go to court to get divorced? I was beside myself. So I think one of the most important things that I can do for our listeners is get them to an understanding that they should not just blindly trust a lawyer. They should just not. Don't just go to a lawyer and say, take care of this problem for me. You need to be informed. You need to be part of the process. You need to be active in the decision making. Too many people go to their lawyer and say, I want a divorce, and then they walk away and trust the lawyer to do it. And what ends up happening is they spend $100,000 for no good reason. Oh, and by the way, so does their wife. or their husband $100,000 because they go to court. Lawyers only know how to go to court. Now, the good lawyers, like your IP lawyer, will say, well, no, we mediate 90% of our cases. And they do, because the judges are now ramming mediation down their throats, because everybody has learned that mediation is really a good way of resolving disputes. It will be a while before collaboration catches on, but collaborative addresses not just the legal aspects, but also the financial and the emotional, which mediation does not. And so I recommend the collaborative divorce process. We usually use a team, Dr. Kevin. We usually use a mental health professional and a financial professional, a facilitator who understands body language. That would be the mental health professional, a financial guy who can crunch numbers. In the normal litigated divorce, the lawyers are crunching the numbers and the lawyers are managing the emotions. Well, I'm sorry. Most people listening to this show will immediately say to themselves, wait a second. Lawyers are managing the emotions. Lawyers are crunching the numbers. We didn't go to school for that, but we're doing it anyway because that's how we make our money.
Yeah, that is concerning to me when you say it's even more concerning to me that they're trying to deal with the emotional fallout, especially when there's children involved. And I end up, because again, I've had a very unique practice over the last 29 years, that I've dealt with a lot of damage, and I mean damage from working with kids who got damaged by their parents' divorce, to working with adults who are still living from a perspective of their parents getting divorced 30 years ago and how it negatively impacted them, and they never got the support or the healing that they needed.
Oh, well, listen, so, you know, my second book is called I Never Saw My Father Again. When I was 7, my parents were divorced. My mother loaded us, me and my 3 younger sisters, into a van, moved us 3,000 miles away, and I never saw my father again. And by the way, I am not unique. I was at breakfast one day with 6 male professionals in range 40 to 60 years of age, and I told that story. And 2 of them looked at me and said, oh, my God, the same thing happened to me. One of them had been kidnapped by his mother, and the other had been kidnapped by his father. So 7 professionals sitting in a room, 3 of us, same thing, same story. It's horrifying that children are being denied the dual perspective of a 2 parents. Let's just put it that way. How do you see when you're blind in one eye? You have no depth perception. And I liken it to that. If you don't have 2 parents in your life, not 2 parents living together, just 2 parents in your life, you have no depth perception. You're growing up. This is why so many, especially girl children who live with their moms, end up being anorexic in their young adulthood. They're anorexic because they're not allowed to disagree with their mom. Now, if they had a dad, the parents would occasionally disagree, and the girl would be taught that disagreement is okay. But they don't learn that perspective.
Well, and, you know, and oftentimes what I find is that there is so much of a black and white hat mentality. I'm actually
right.
Working on a new book myself. I have several books out as well over a number of different topics. And the new book I'm working on there's a chapter that's called There Is No Black and There Is No White. It doesn't exist. But when these kids get, you know, I always say to the parent, if they've got a child, you know, that's acting out a lot, and the other parent may be divorced and having a hard, and maybe not showing up or not being present or not participating, and then the other parent is doing that by choice, they're going, why are they taking it out on me? And I said, because they trust you're not going to leave. They have to be nice to the other one because they already feel like the other one has already left them, and they're afraid that if they engage in bad behavior,
right,
they'll leave them again, and that they may not come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So right. there's so many, you know, there's so many, intricacies in this. And I don't think, and in some states it's true now, but it took a long time for it to happen. I don't think there should ever be a divorce where there are children involved that the children doesn't have a independent representative and and somebody that can help support the transition that they're going through, and that should be part of it. You can't take two people to the table if it's a family of five and think that everybody is getting heard or treated fairly in the exchange.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I serve very occasionally as a guardian ad litem. And every time I get appointed, I tell the judge, I don't know why you're appointing me. I'm just an attorney. You need a child development expert, a child psychologist. You need somebody who is qualified to represent that child's best interest, to talk to the court about, what's impacting that child's psyche in that particular period of time that the divorce is happening in. I think that's really critical, and it should happen much more often than it does. Usually only happens, at least here in Florida where I'm familiar, it only happens in those cases where the parents are so at odds that they can't even talk to each other, which, of course, is horrifying just to begin with right there. But I don't think you're wrong that children deserve a voice, and they most of the time don't get it. In fact, children come to me with one parent or the other, and they're under the impression that when they're 12 years old in Florida, they can decide where they want to live. And let me tell you, that is not only a fallacy, horrifying fallacy, because it's one parent telling the child, when you turn 12 years old, you're old enough to make this adult decision. And then what we see happening is, I had a 17-and-a-half-year-old who was determined that he was going to tell the court what he thought should happen. Think back to when you were 17-and-a-half. I was in college. I was a sophomore in college. I mean, we're pretty grown up by the time we're 17-and-a-half. But let's face it, if you're older than 25, you also know that your brain really hasn't finished growing until much later. And the judge told the 17-and-a-half-year-old, no, you're a kid. I'm not putting you in the middle. You don't deserve to be in the middle. I'm not going to do that to you. So we see it, but it's not good when it happens.
Well, you know, and the fact that the judge, who is no more trained or no more has any background to assess what that child's needs are,
right,
is making that decision. I mean, I graduated not quite as early as you did. Well, you didn't graduate. You just left and went to Yale, which I find fascinating. We could do another whole show on, but we won't go there today, Joran. But, you know, I graduated early and started college early. So I was in college at 17 as well. But I was like, when I was like 12 years old, I was the president of the Children's Liberation Organization group in my area. I started it to fight for children's rights, because I said children have no rights, and they're treated like property. I was 12 and I was out there protesting that and trying to overthrow
the
government.
They are treated like property. They are treated like property. I had this discussion. I was doing this post-nup today with two parents. They don't have children. They have eight cats. And we were talking about the fact that the law treats their cats like property, and they were incensed by that. But let's face it, the law treats children like property as well, which is totally, you know, it's a reckless disregard for reality. But yes, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. Children always think that they're more adult than they are. The bottom line is that the adults in the room need to be the adults in the room and take the responsibility. And we need to make sure that the judges, if you're going to go to court, you need to make sure that you equip the judge to make the decision adequately. And I think you're right. Having someone who is a specialist in children's needs to talk to the judge. But now we're talking about, you know, increasing the cost of the divorce even more. Divorces cost so much when you go to court. Parents who want to fight with each other, They each hire experts to talk about custody. They hire experts to talk about finance. They hire experts to talk about vocational evaluations. I mean, you know, I said $100,000 each, but I've seen cases where they spent more than $1 million each. If there's $1 million to spend, the lawyers will spend it.
Yep. No, and that's a shame. And I will, and we are going to go going on break. We will be back with Joran Jenkins, author of Everything, and our voice on collaborative practice, collaborative divorce. And we'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras. A new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Home Times. We have Joran Jenkins, author of a number of books, including, I love this, The Stepmother's Cookbook, War or Peace, Avoid the Destruction of the Divorce Court, A Free Divorce Handbook, How to Organize a Collaborative Divorce Pro Bono Project, From Rookie to Rainmaker, How to Grow Your Law Business, just some of the topics. If you want to see all of the different books she wrote, if you want to be able to contact her, then you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like the page. Joran will tell you I'm a likable guy. Lie, lie, I'll pay you later, Joran. Join us, and or you can call in at 202-570-7057 and be part of this conversation live. Who wouldn't want to talk to Joran, right? Really, call in, ask her a question. You know, she seems like she's a nice girl. When was the last time someone called you a nice girl? Have I politically correctly blown it? And did I, was I insulting when I said that?
No, most of the judges call me a nice girl.
Oh, yeah. But when they say it, I think it might irritate you more than when I say it, I suspect.
No, I've been very blessed in my judicial relationships, let me tell you.
Oh, good. Good. So now we're going to move in. We've got two questions left to ask, and we're in the last segment.
Yeah, you don't
This is your fault.
Time.
It's your fault. You've taken me on all of these wild goose chases, and they've been wonderful. We'll skip the second question, and let's move right to the third question, which is my what a load of crap section. What do you think that's going on in the world that's just a load of crap, and you want to share this with our listeners because it will help them live a better life?
You know, you've mentioned the Stepmother's Cookbook several times, which I think is interesting, and it's not what I had planned to talk about, but I've already talked about what I planned to talk about, so what the heck? The Stepmother's Cookbook was actually the second book that I wrote. My daughter, who is my only child, is also my stepdaughter. She's not related to me by blood. And we were very, very, very close. She spent a lot of time in my house. Her mother lived a four-hour drive away and wasn't that involved in her life. And so, as often happens between mothers and daughters, when she hit 14 and a half, she was, there's a phrase for it, and you may know it better than I do, Dr. Kevin. She was differentiating herself from her parents, but her dad had always been, you know, the easygoing guy. I was the rulemaker. And so I got more and more and more and more pushback as time went on. And then she had a head injury. She was on the wrestling team at school, and she got dropped on her head. So we went through 7 months of that, which was very stressful for everybody. We didn't know if she'd ever come out of it. She didn't go to school for 7 months. And so a lot of stress. And the mother-daughter relationship was so highly stressed that it finally came to blows. Shockingly came to blows. And I realized long after the fact that both of us had perceived the situation completely from our own perspectives. And mind you, you know, here I am, I'm a smart guy. I graduated from Yale when I was 19 years old, went to Georgetown Law. I did all these wonderful things, and I'm supposed to be brilliant. And still, when you're in an emotional situation, you don't realize that you're seeing things purely from your own perspective. And so we both told different truths about what had happened. And she actually, I put her out of the house because I didn't want it to happen again. Put her in an apartment, moved my husband out. He lived at the apartment for a year. He came home every morning to shower and change. And he came home every evening, had dinner with me, and then went home and had dinner with her. And we did that for a year. It was different, but we managed it. And then she went off to college, and she didn't talk to me for 2 years. And during the 2 years, I put together a book, which is ultimately it became the Stepmother's Cookbook. I intended just to collect recipes from her family, my family, her father's family, and her favorite recipes from her friends. You know, when she came and slept over at your house, what was her favorite thing to eat? I talked to their parents. I talked to her uncles and her aunts and everybody I could think of, and I collected the recipes. And as I collected the recipes, I also ended up collecting stories. And stories about the recipes, stories about what happened when she was at their house. And I started collecting photos, and I ended up with a book. 2.5 years after our, quote, incident, close quote, it was December 24th, and I gave her the book because I was taking her. Now, mind you, she's still not really speaking to me, but she was a sophomore in college, and I was taking her to see her great aunt, who was 96 years old. Taking her to see her great aunt, and I wanted her to have the book so that her great aunt could sign it. So I gave it to her early. And the transformation during that car drive was unbelievable. She's looking through the book, and I could see, and I didn't realize, I'm just not that smart. I didn't realize, except in retrospect, what was happening. She's looking through the book, and she's realizing how much I care about her. And the barriers went down. They totally went down. She and I, she's 29 now, we're as close as can be. So I like to talk about the fact books can create magic, but what's conveyed in books can be magical. And that's why I also like the collaborative process, because we communicate in the collaborative process. The same way that this book communicated to her what she did not know, what she didn't know in her heart, we can talk about that stuff in the collaborative process. In the safety, we call it the safety of the room, where you've got your team, and the team is looking out for you, and the team is helping the other party understand what you're trying to say. So the load of crap that's going on in the world today is people are not talking to each other. We're just yelling at each other, and we're just saying what we're saying, and the other side isn't hearing what we're saying. We agree a lot more than we think we do, and our perspectives are a lot more similar than we think they are. And I wish that we would learn to listen better.
It's very
interesting. How'd I do? What's my grade?
That's fabulous. And so there's a few things I want to point out from this story, if I may. First of all, big kudos to you, because, you know, having a high IQ of a certain kind of intelligence does not mean you can't be stupid as a stump in another kind of intelligence.
Oh, and, yeah.
And your willingness to recognize that and work on the intelligence you didn't have as much of, instead of hiding in the intelligence that it would have been easy to hide in.
Good point.
Congratulations. That is a courageous story on your part as well.
Well, thank you.
I heard a child whose relationship with her own mother was so tenuous that she was afraid to try to connect to you as a mother figure because her original relationship was so fraught.
Well, she used to call me her best friend, and she tried, as many stepchildren do, to call me mom. And I would not allow it, because that's an insult to her mother. It's not fair. This little kid, she's 5 years old, she says to me, but wait, I have two grandmas and I call them both grandma. I know which one I'm talking about. So
smart kid.
We were very, very close. But as a child growing, as a teen growing into a young adult, these children, all children, have a need to differentiate from their parents to make themselves their own unique person. And so she was pushing me away with both hands, which I totally understand now. But at the time, it was horribly, horribly painful for me.
Do you also understand that on a very subtle level that she may not have understood your not allowing her to use the term mommy to you created something that could be built on as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that, the first of all, again, that is so important, and that you recognize it and you had the courage to step out of your comfort zones. I mean, when I tell couples, when I work with them, I'm going to work with you so that you can understand how to decipher each other's language, because no two people speak in the same language.
Right. I speak Karen language. You speak Dr. Kevin language.
Yep. And when you are in a relationship with somebody, you need to make an effort to understand that when they say this, instead of making it all about you and what it would mean if you said it, to actually separate and understand what they mean when they say it.
Right.
And of course, I also have, I have five books out, I think, currently on ADD and ADHD. And I always say that, you know, that adds another whole level of language when I'm dealing with my kids. I call them all my kids. I don't care how old they are. They'll always be somewhat childlike, ADD and ADHD child. And that, you know, when I work with an ADD business owner or an ADD child or an ADD spouse, that language difference is even greater and is more intensified than the non-ADD person. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, I have clients that I help through divorce, and I've got one right now who I think has I'm not thinking of the right term. It's a form of autism. And he's a nurse. I mean, he's a nursing assistant. He's wonderfully talented at what he does, but he's suffering from, I'm not sure if suffering is the right word. He's working with a particular set of skills that is affecting his ability to deal with his divorce.
Yep. Well, and it's about finding the right language. You know, my first book came out in the late 90s. I actually came out in 2000. I started working with ADD in the late 90s. And one of my first things, because it was actually my first book got spun out of my doctoral thesis, was that ADD is part of the evolutionary process, broadening the bandwidth of humanity and not a disease, disorder, or disability. And we, you know, and we need to not be medicating it. We need to, And so if this young man is struggling with that, he's struggling with the internal language to know how to express what his needs are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joran Jenkins, come check her out on facebook.com/mydrkevin. Everything you need to know about her is there. Open Palm Law, openpalm.com. Go check her out. Joran, come back and play sometime. You've been delightful.
Thank you, Dr. Kevin. Take good care.
Bye.